Break Talk on WRHI is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, Manning Kimmel.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. My name is Manning Kimmel. The program is called Straight Talk. We do it every weekday afternoon. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Talking about Rock Hill, Fort Mill, Tega Cay, the great county of York, and everything else up and down I-77. And we do it right here on WRHI, South Carolina's seven-time radio station of the year. Our broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. I always love it when we get a brand new person in front of the microphone who's wondering, what is he going to do next? What is he going to say next? And here she is. Her name is Kelly Cox. She is the not-so-brand-new anymore superintendent of the York School District.
Been there just a couple of months. Started January 1st was my first official day. Yeah, very brand new.
Brand new. Well, welcome to Straight Talk. Glad to have you here.
Glad to be here.
So we always start off with somebody brand new. Tell me a little bit about your background.
So career educator. Right. I have been in York for about 5 years now.
Okay.
I came over as the principal at Harold C. Johnson Elementary School.
Okay.
Prior to that, I was in McCormick, South Carolina, where I was a middle school teacher, assistant principal, and their director of human resources and secondary instruction.
This is not your first rodeo, then?
This is not my first rodeo, okay. But I'm enjoying being here in the community.
So before you took this on, mm-hmm. you were doing what with the York District?
I was doing their elementary programs, their director of elementary programs. So I had the opportunity to work with all five elementary schools, great relationships with those principals, and got the opportunity really to be in and out of the rooms with those kids in each of our five schools.
So did you have any idea that somebody was going to tap you on the shoulder and say, why don't you think about this?
Long-term career goal has been to be a superintendent one day, just didn't quite expect it to be this soon. Was working with Dr. Prosser, had a great relationship with him. He was really a fantastic superintendent and did a lot to help prepare me. But when he decided to retire, I thought, oh, wow, this is too soon. I'm not ready, not quite yet. The board brought in an interim superintendent, Dr. Tom Falconberry, who is phenomenal, had been with the district previously, and kept getting nudged, kept thinking maybe I should throw my name in the hat, just see how it shakes out. Decided right before the deadline closed to put my name in, and the board sought to give me the opportunity, thought well enough of me to give me a try. I appreciate their thinking that much of me, but most importantly of them giving me an opportunity to work side by side with Dr. Falconberry during our time of transition. So he stayed on for a superintendent for the first semester. We worked together, and then I took over in January. So.
Well, there's never a perfect time, is there? You just got to get in there when the opportunity presents itself.
Got in there.
A little bit different than being in the classroom.
It is a little bit different. It is a little bit different.
Because your responsibilities, I would guess, are virtually everything in the district. I mean, you've got a great team, I'm sure, that...
Phenomenal
you're surrounded
team.
With.
We have a great team from our principals to our district administrators to our teachers, community. That's probably the greatest strength of York is our network, our relationships. You've heard the old adage before, we're family. Mm. In York, it's really true. I've had the opportunity to be in several districts in several states, and nowhere have I felt as connected to a district and a community where people really do value and work together. Probably most importantly, to benefit the children, to see children grow and have opportunities to not only experience their life dreams, but have the skill set to work towards that.
And I've found it true that the smaller the community, the more connected they are.
Absolutely.
It's when they become large that you lose an element of that, for sure.
That is so very true.
So the last time I had the opportunity to do an interview about the York School District, and it was with Vernon Prosser, the building program, I think, was pretty much done by then. Mm-hmm. Is that about right?
That is correct.
I mean, I know you have the plush but not overly ostentatious college campus high school. I mean, that
We're
thing
very
is...
very proud of our facilities.
I was thinking to myself, I'm wondering if the new Catawba Ridge High School in Fort Mill is going to try to outdo the new York Comprehensive High School complex that everybody sees going on, you know, traveling back and forth on the bypass.
Well, our former administration and our school board had a lot of vision and wisdom when they built that facility. It really is our showcase facility.
Well, and give credit to the voters, because they're the ones that approved it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Voters were very supportive and have been, continue to be.
So right now you have approximately how many students in your district?
We have about 5,300 students.
All right. Is that about... up, down, about the same, what?
Our enrollment stays pretty steady.
Right.
In the time that I have been in the district, we have not varied significantly in our enrollment. Now, our children will often move school to school and within the elementary,
right,
but our numbers remain pretty consistent.
Well, as we were chatting before we went on the air, when you see what is happening to this population of this area, and you hear guys like David Hooper from RFATS talking about the population of York County doubling in 10 years, you know it's got to happen. You're gonna get some of this for sure, even though it may not be there now. It's got to come your way.
We feel like that it probably will, and we begin to vision through that. We're not prepared to talk about any new facilities at this point. We have what we need. We're focusing more on taking care of our facilities. Our board just recently supported a capital improvement plan that we're going to be doing a little bit of renovation, particularly to one of our buildings, our intermediate school. We want to change the entrance of that building so that it can be a little more secure. It is our one facility that does not have a double door entry system. And in this day and age, we really need to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to protect our children. So we're working to make that adjustment.
Well, that's one of the things I was going to bring up, because I know the unfortunate part of what you have to deal with is that whole thing called security. We live in that era.
Absolutely.
Where we have a lot of nutcases running around, getting into schools, and we all know what those stories are.
Mm-hmm.
So are all your actual school facilities now, what do they call it, single entry, so that you only have one way in?
That is correct. That's what we're working toward, and that's why we're wanting to do the renovations at York Intermediate School.
So that's the only one that needs to have that attention?
It does not have a double entry so that we can secure the lock-in.
Gotcha.
And allow folks to come into a waiting area and then buzz them in. It has the single set of doors, so we're wanting to correct that.
So what is on your to-do list now that you have taken over this responsibility? Have you figured out, you see, January, so I gave her 60 days,
yeah.
All right. So have you figured out which ends up on this yet?
Well, so the thing about us in York, we have a lot of good things going on, so we're not looking to make major adjustments.
Right.
We're looking to continue to improve in the direction that we're going. Our focus has been on individualized instruction with our students. Our graduation rate has been strong, continues to be strong. We're focusing right now on ensuring that as we receive children into our program, that we are helping them become prepared and ready and reading on grade level by third grade.
Mm-hmm.
Our focus recently has been on our writing curriculum across the elementary schools. We're doing a new writing curriculum now, been training our teachers, and it has been a three-year rollout process. We'll be concluding that here in a couple of months. We'll have 100% of our teachers trained, and it is so exciting to see the energy and the excitement around writing. I was in a first grade classroom at one of our elementary schools this morning, and they were having their writing celebration, which is a piece that's built into this curriculum. And kids were reading their how-to books. Kids get to pick their own topic. And a little girl was reading to me her story of how to do yoga. And her vocabulary that she was using was just phenomenal. There's just an excitement.
How do you get this, whatever they call this generation? It's not millennial, but I mean, whatever it is in third or fourth grade. How do you get them really interested in writing and in reading when all they do is on this phone? I mean, I think it's becoming a lost art, and yet it is a requirement of most businesses today. I don't care what it is, that you be able to write a few sentences that make sense and speak, as I say, the King's English.
That's why we chose to focus on our writing curriculum and to begin our training process there. And because we're doing it individualized and it's anchored in texts that are at the children's level and just beyond their level so that we can stretch them a little bit, kids just light up when they have that opportunity to sit down and read with you one-on-one and then get their thoughts on paper and read that back to you. It builds itself. The momentum and the excitement is contagious. So,
you know,
yeah, there's some technology hurdles, but if you incorporate it and you allow children to have choice in what they're writing about and what they're reading about, they really do take hold.
It didn't make any difference what they write about. Just write about it, and let me see if I understand what's in your head by putting three or four or five sentences
That's
or paragraphs
exactly
together.
Right.
Yeah. Well, good for you, and I hope that all works out. Do they still teach in the young grades good old in cursive writing, or is it all texting?
No, we do still teach cursive writing.
Do they use it?
They do. They do. It is not our primary form of instruction. It's not our primary focus. We're more worried about the content, but we do teach cursive.
All right. So technology in the classrooms.
Yes.
We went through this era where it was in vogue for every child to have some type of a computer to use in the classroom or take home or whatever. Is that how you're operating in the York District?
It is not. We are not at a one-to-one and really have no intention of moving to a one-to-one. However, we are emphasizing our technology incorporation into our instruction to try to build the ratio of devices that we have. We're not quite where we want to be because we know we have to prepare students for life outside of school. In school and education, we have typically been very we're slow to change in the way we do things in education, unfortunately. And if you don't move in the right direction so that you are using it as a teaching tool and not a product, that's why we've wanted to go slow on it. If I put devices in the classroom and the teachers aren't prepared, it just becomes an electronic worksheet, not a tool that the child uses to demonstrate their learning. So we're attempting to try to shift the focus in that direction.
You know, you raise an interesting point. To really understand what a child understands or learns in a classroom, too many of the tests that are given today are multiple choice, you know, that kind of thing, where versus give me a paragraph on this. Yeah. So I can understand how you're thinking and why you're reaching the conclusion you're reaching. Is that out of vogue these days?
Well, I'm not sure that I would say out of vogue. Unfortunately, I'm going to back off that just a little bit. We're so driven by our state testing.
Oh, here we go with that. Good Lord in heaven. They're doing away with this, thank God. Hopefully,
well,
as they say they're going to.
We're very hopeful that they will reduce the amount of testing. Somehow in our society, we shifted from seeing children as children and seeing children as data points. We need to see children as children. The emphasis needs to be on growing that individual child, not an arbitrary test.
Well, if the legislature comes through with what is on the table right now, you might have a smile on your face come July 1st. I mean, that's all I can tell you. And I hope that does, because you're right.
We certainly
test these kids. They apparently what's been going on in the classroom, because the schools have to meet certain standards, the districts have to meet certain standards, that a lot of the teaching has been to take the test versus let's teach them so we can make them think and understand how they're thinking and why they're reaching the conclusions they are.
there's been so much emphasis on the outputs and not enough emphasis on the inputs.
Yeah.
So we're working on helping the teachers know how to infuse that instruction so that that child then can have all the opportunities, not teaching to the test, as you were saying. But I need to pause for a moment and tell you, we have some phenomenal teachers in our district. I just had an opportunity. I've gone through and visited each of the schools, and I've walked through the classrooms with the principals, and almost to the individual, everyone's there for the right reason, to see our children succeed.
Well, and I wish I had counted how many times I've said what I'm about to say. I don't know how teachers in today's classrooms do what they do with all the social ills that walk through the door first thing in the morning. Kids who are hungry, kids who've got dysfunctional families, the list goes on and on and on. And somehow you've got to work through all of that to get them to understand math, history, English, writing. I mean, it's tough.
Teachers are asked to do way more than teach nowadays, that's for sure.
All right. And with that bright note, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Soon as Scott Oliver clears his mouth with that big sandwich he's got in there, we're going to go on the queue. We want to remind you that Straight Talk is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill, common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Of course, we hang out here at Substation 2 every day. Are you all right, Scott? You all ready to go? Okay, I just want to make sure. We're here for fresh subs and salads. Scott, wash it down. I want you to be, you all right? It's all set. Why are we here, ladies and gentlemen? Everybody together. Here we go. Slice.
Slice. Slice. Slice.
Garden, garden, garden. All right, not bad. Back after these words.
This is Straight Talk.
Hey, Charlie, what's new with Substation 2?
That's easy. We're bringing back our delicious corned beef sandwich. It's lean, perfectly seasoned, sliced fresh to order, and garden just the way you like.
Don't miss this limited time offer at Substation 2.
Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Did you spend too much money during the holidays? Save money by consolidating those high-interest credit cards into one easy payment with a Founders credit card. Founders has low balance transfer rates and no transfer fees. Visit FoundersFCU.com for more information and to apply for your Founders credit card today. Not a Founders member? Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Relax with Founders credit cards. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Nicole Thompson, assistant principal at Griggs Road Elementary School in Clover.
The connectivity program, it's more than just academics. It became helping them to feel part of a school system, have a voice in their building and inside of their classrooms, but it also provided us an opportunity to really get to know families one-on-one. Technology is a gateway for students to really see their potential and what 21st century learning is all about and to be ready. Luckily, Comporium was willing to get on board, helping us to educate our students.
Hear the full story at humantech.comporium.com.
Good Pharmacy, with a modern look and traditional standards.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. All six of our pharmacists love serving you and your children. Ask us about alternatives for your child's medicine.
My mommy loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Hungry but can't get out? DoorDash now delivers Substation 2 subs and salads 7 days a week. Just go online to MySubstationII.com and click on the DoorDash delivery tab and your order will be on its way. That's MySubstationII.com. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop. Kelly Cox is with us, the brand spanking new, and we do mean brand spanking new. She's had the job as the superintendent of the York School District for all of 65 days now. And she's weathered the storm. You figured out where this is and where that is and who you need to call when you have a problem. Or is that all right?
Still working through those pieces. Most of the time I can figure it out.
All right. I'm interested. What is a typical day like for you? I mean, you don't sit in your office all day and read stuff and push a pencil, do you?
No, I do not. In fact, I was meeting with the student government group over at the high school the other day, and that was their very question. Talk us through one of your typical days. I like my me time in the morning, so I tend to get up about 4:30, and
good,
that's when I have my time, have my devotion, which is important to me, and then I start the day. When I get to the district, meet with our staff. We kick off just touching base in the morning, make sure we know where we're going and what direction everyone's headed.
How's this guy, Tim Cooper, working? Is he okay?
Yeah.
I just wondered.
We're waiting. Well, verdict's out on that one. He's got me sitting here today, so it depends on how this conversation goes.
He may have a new job when he leaves here. Okay.
And then I like to get out and about. So I'm in the schools as much as I can. Principals have been extremely helpful in making sure that we have an opportunity to visit the classrooms and hit as many of the classrooms as I can.
So they know you're coming? Or is there a little surprise visit?
Right now I've been announcing that we've arranged. We've been scheduling visits. Wanted to make sure that everyone was comfortable. It's a little different. I'm transitioning from the role that I was in and into this role, and I've been getting the question, are you Miss Cox now, or are you still Kelly? We're all having to adjust to that. So I've been a little bit formal about scheduling the visits at this point, intentional about meeting with our teacher forum, our different stakeholder groups. Had the pleasure yesterday of being over in our technology center, watching our HOSA group work on their presentation for the competition. They're doing a Stop the Bleed campaign.
Stop the bleed.
It's a first responders initiation to when an injury occurs, how to stop the bleed.
Sure, pressure.
Pressure.
Right, doc, pressure. That's it.
Exactly. But it's a competition, and if they win, they're hoping to raise some money and put Stop the Bleed kits in the classroom. So it's
good. Now, when you were in the classroom, did you like it when the superintendent popped in to sit down and see what you're doing? Or did it intimidate you?
Well, so no, it did not intimidate me, because I just, that was me. And we had an open door classroom, and people were coming in and out all the time. When you have a partnership with a college and their interns coming through, you get used to folks coming in and out of your classroom. And I don't want our teachers to be intimidated when I'm in their classrooms. I don't want the principals to be intimidated when I'm in the building. We're all here together with the same goal.
I can see pluses and minuses to assuming this job, having worked in the district. First of all, positive. Everybody knows who you are.
That's right.
What makes you tick? It's not something coming in from outer space that they have to worry about. The other side of it is, and I guess this is just a question of time, for people to realize that Kelly is no longer a teacher. Kelly is my boss. And while I think she's just a wonderful, happy, da-da-da-da-da person, if Kelly asked me to do something, I just, you know, I need to do that. I mean, do you relate to that?
I certainly can understand that. In fact, that was one of the conversations that the board and I had early on when we were talking about this possibility. I will say to you on that, the benefits, in my opinion, outweigh the cons, because I know where the district was. I know the direction that we're headed, and there was no ground that was lost in a transition. Because there's so many great things going, we did not want to have to back up, and I appreciate the vision of the board on that. To the other side, because we have such professionals in our district, I don't anticipate that being a large problem, but certainly one that we will deal with if we have to.
Well, here we are. So you've got something coming up here. A registration carnival. I love that name. So tell me what this is all about.
Well, when I was still working as the director of elementary programs, we had the idea that we wanted to initiate a kindergarten registration carnival to try to get a better idea of our kindergarten enrollment for the upcoming year. We watch our budget dollars very closely, and we're determining whether or not we need additional kindergarten teachers. And when those enrollments don't happen until in the summer or late in the fall, it makes it very difficult to know how many kindergarten teachers you need. So we came up with the concept of our registration carnival. We were able to secure some grant funding from the Education Oversight Committee, and would have been able to offer what has become for us the largest non-athletic event that we have in the district. We have thousands of people in attendance at this event. We invite community partners to come and register children for summer programming. We invite daycares to come and register children for their programs. We have inflatables. We give away hot dogs to the first 500 participants. We make it a true carnival in all sense of the term carnival.
So where do you hold this?
We hold it at the high school. We're going to do it on March the 19th.
You mean the college campus?
The high school.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is high school.
We wanted to do it there so that kids are beginning their process where they're going to end. We set up a photo booth with the class of and give the kids caps and gowns and let mom and dads take pictures of their children as they're registering for kindergarten. It's a fun event.
And this is going to be held when?
March the 19th at 5:30.
March the 19th at 5:30. So it's just a one-evening affair.
It's a one-evening affair.
That's pretty slick. So this is not your first year doing this?
This will be our third carnival. Third carnival. It has gotten a little bigger each year that we've done it.
Are they going to have a booth there where you throw a pie at the superintendent?
We haven't gone there yet. We do have inflatables, though.
Why don't we throw a pie at the public information officer?
I
think that's a much better idea. Well, good. So people register for this or they just show up?
They show up. Don't have to do anything ahead of time. Just come and let us know that you're interested in coming to kindergarten.
And kindergartner, is that 5 years of age?
Four-year-old and five-year-old. We register for both of our programs. We do offer four-year-old kindergarten. We have 9 four-year-old kindergarten classrooms in the district. They are income-based. So there are qualification criteria that parents must meet.
So is a four-year-old kindergarten a full-time kindergartner?
It's a full-day program.
Really? Boy, I bet you that's popular.
It is very popular.
Get them in there as soon as you can get them in there. All right. Well, Kelly, you have made it through your very first Straight Talk program. I told you you would not have to call 911, and that's worked out just fine. And I hope you come back sometime.
Absolutely. Huh? I'll be happy to. Enjoyed it.
She said that publicly. You know what she's going to say when you walk out. Don't you ever get me in here again, Tim. I'll kill you. All right. Kelly Cox, her superintendent of the York School District, our guest today on our Straight Talk program. Thank you and good luck to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Again, the carnival coming up on March the 19th. And that'll wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. We hang out here every day at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, because Charlie Ruffalo is a great guy, and they prepare only fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes. And there's only one way to do this, and everybody in this restaurant knows how to do it. Are we ready? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
You got it. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.